Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on this Taco Tuesday. So listen, we're going to go to the phones right now. Congressman Gary Palmer has been on this show a number of times. He is a member of the Republican portion of our delegation to Washington, D.C. Congressman Palmer has a long history of working in conservative policy. You may recall that he's the founder of the Alabama Policy Institute, which you hear about quite a bit on this show, and which I used to also be on the staff of. But Congressman Palmer is also a member of leadership in the House right now, including being a member of the House Oversight Committee and grilled the now former Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle yesterday. He's on the line with us right now. Congressman Gary Palmer, how you doing?
I'm good, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you for making time. I appreciate it. One of the first things I did when I saw the hearings was reach out to your staff and say, well, I'd like to have the congressman on if at all possible, because you had a front row seat, didn't you?
I did, yeah. It was amazing. I wasn't too far into the hearing that I came to the conclusion that the higher-ups had told her not to say anything. And yeah, she was pretty successful at that.
Well, that was a key. I mean, I mentioned earlier in the show that it was clear that they had said the plan is just defer to the FBI, and she did that, and then she basically fell on her sword, is what it appears.
Yeah, I think that would be a good summation of what happened, is that she was the scapegoat. And I told Chairman Comer afterwards that I would really like to talk to the special agent in charge of the Pittsburgh office. I'd like to talk to the site supervisor and the site agent. Site supervisor and the site agent are the ones who do the initial survey of a site, determine, and they draft the security plan.
Right.
And I would really like to know what led them to leave a building with a 2-12 pitch roof, less than 150 yards with clear line of sight to the podium, outside the initial perimeter. And the way they do it, Phil, they have, it's like three concentric rings. That inside ring is under the security of the Secret Service. The next ring, that's where they have their local law enforcement SWAT teams, or as they call them, their emergency services units, the ESU units. Then that third ring that really farther outside is basically people, manning the magnometers and things like that, getting that outside area, just processing people through. But they not only didn't include that building there, the Butler County ESU unit was positioned in a building behind and adjacent to the rooftop, in a position on the second floor window where I was told it was a very severe angle, so they didn't have a really good overwatch position there. And then you have the water tower that's about 350 yards from the podium that would have, if they placed even a local SWAT team or observer up there, they would have had clear overwatch over almost the entire site.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense.
No, none of it makes sense. And the reality was, she had the opportunity. Well, I tell you what, there were several opportunities here. She could have come in and announced to all of you, I have tendered my resignation, but in the meantime, I'm here to answer your questions to the extent that I can. But she didn't do that. And she also could have received a visible word from her bosses that she needs to offer her resignation, but they didn't do that. So it basically took a bipartisan thrashing yesterday before we got her out of the seat that she's been in, you know, with all of her DEI plans and everything else that have been just debilitating the agency. But I hope y'all are not going to let this go. Obviously, you shouldn't, and I don't think you will, but don't let it go in the wake of her resignation.
There's not going to be any more hearings. What we're going to do, and I talked with Speaker Johnson early yesterday morning, and then he was at the hearing right before it started, and talked with him and Chairman Comer again. And there's going to be a task force, and he, since going to be a bipartisan task force, I really, my preference would be a totally independent task force without any members of Congress on it. And I know that'll upset some of my colleagues who like to get all the social media hits. But we really need the absolute best investigators that, we can get, totally independent, and because this is serious. It is one of the greatest security failures in the history of the country, and I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
When you have a 20-year-old kid with, and the rifle he used obviously was an AR-15, it was a DPMS, which Remington used to make until Remington went out of business, with a red dot non-magnified scope on it.
Right.
And he was still able to come within a quarter of an inch of killing Donald Trump because of the position that he had. And you couldn't ask for a better shooting position than where he was with that very slight slope hook. And how he was able to do that, and all of those things that I mentioned at the very beginning about the failure to secure a building in the hearing, I don't know if you saw my questions, but I made the point, you could have put Barney Fife on that roof.
Yes.
And that would have been a deterrent to somebody getting up there. But they didn't.
No, in fact, I did see those comments. In fact, I thought that was one of the better comments. I mean, I saw some of the most inane comments coming from, like, another member of the Democrat caucus who wanted to know if racism played a part because they chose not to shoot him right away because he was white. And I thought that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I'll give you another insight, and I brought this up in my questions to her, is that there were two Secret Service counter-sniper units. And then there was a third one. They have a contract team called the Washington Regional Team, and then they deploy or utilize local law enforcement. They call them the Emergency Services Units. As I said earlier, that's their SWAT team. The Secret Service SWAT team, sniper teams, are supposed to come in and brief the contract team and the locals. And that's where you're going to have, a check on the interoperability of your communications. It's also going to have a discussion about engagement protocol. And all of the Secret Service guys, including the contract team, have what's known as compromise authority. That means if they see something that they believe is a credible threat, they don't have to wait for somebody to call in to give them a go, no go, or shoot, don't shoot. They take the shot.
Yeah.
They eliminate the threat. The Butler County ESU unit, according to information that I've been given, photographed that guy on the ground with the rangefinder.
Right.
That was at 5:15, Phil. It was 23 minutes later, 5:38, before that photo got to the Secret Service. And then they couldn't find the guy. And then, these guys obviously did not know whether or not they should engage. And then when Cheadle was asked about the fact that he had a rangefinder, she said that's not a prohibited item. That's one of the stupidest responses I've ever heard in my life. Somebody shows up with a rangefinder, they're going to take it from them. That's not like a camera. It's not even like binoculars. But not only did he have a rangefinder, he was in a place he shouldn't have been. So, like I said, this has got to be investigated by the absolute best that we have, because there are so many things that went wrong for one of the best security organizations in the history of the world. It's just inconceivable to me that all of these things happen.
Now, did I see correctly, did Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, did he join the speaker in calling for the investigation?
I think he did, because we were in our leadership meeting yesterday afternoon, and Jeffries called the speaker while we were in the conference room, and I think that's what it was about.
Yeah. I saw some report on that, I think, on social media today. But look, the bottom line is this. She resigned, but let me ask you this. Have you heard any inside information about whether she chose to resign because of the pressure she got yesterday, or was she asked to resign by Mayorkas or anybody in the administration?
I really don't know. Like I said, I've been in three hearings today, so I've not heard whether she was forced out or what. But, you know, the interesting thing is in 1981 when Reagan was shot,
yeah,
the head of the Secret Service resigned voluntarily. He did the honorable thing, and then he offered himself to answer any questions and work with whomever they needed for him to work with to make sure it didn't happen again. That would have been the proper thing for Director Cheadle. She should have immediately stepped forward, offered her resignation, and then agreed to work with whatever committees or task forces or outside groups that we believe are necessary to investigate this. But that's not what she did. So it's very unfortunate that the way she handled it.
Well, it is. It's unfortunate.
My guess is, as you suggested, I think she handled it the way she was told to handle it.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I look at this and think, what a missed opportunity on the part of Kamala Harris. I mean, she's like being christened right now as the next Democrat candidate for president. All she had to do was say, I have decided that I needed to call for her resignation. And the world would have seen the possibility of leadership, but they didn't do that. She just went off and did a rally and has made no statements about it except to say, thank you for your service. I just look at this complete. There's never been accountability in this administration for anybody who screws up.
Well, I want to make one thing absolutely clear, and this applies to President Biden. It will apply to candidate Kamala, if she is and indeed the candidate. They're not the ones calling the shots. I mean, we knew from day one that Biden wasn't calling the shots. She won't be calling the shots. And what I would say to anyone who's listening, that it doesn't matter who they put on the ticket. It could have been Biden. It could have been Harris. It could be anybody else. Now, they change the person, but it's not going to change the policies. And I can assure you that if they were to be successful in winning this election, the policies not only will not change, they're going to double down on them. But if it's Harris, she's not calling the shots. We just experienced the third Obama term. If she were to get elected, we would see the fourth one.
No, I agree with that, and I think, you know, the polls have been showing that that Trump has momentum, but I think we need to run like a scalded dog and run like we're 10 points behind the whole way for the next 105 days.
Absolutely,
Mr. Congressman, I appreciate your time. We're gonna call it there, but thank you so much for making yourself available to us today. All right.
Well, you do a great job. I always enjoy being on with you, Phil.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day now.
You too. Bye.
Well, that was Congressman Gary Palmer, who is actually a member of the House Republican leadership from Alabama, from the Birmingham area, founder of the Alabama Policy Institute, and a member of House Oversight, who was there yesterday grilling. And I mean, like, his comments were grilling for Secretary Cheadle, who is now the former Secretary Cheadle. All right, we'll take calls and take this a little further down the road. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just giving you all the truth you can fit on a bumper sticker. So let me just jump on the phones. It could be a real short segment. I ran long on that conversation with Gary Palmer, but let me grab the phones. Is that Allie? Allie from Athens is on the line. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, and I need you to put your counselor hat on.
All right, what you got?
Counselor at law, Phil Williams. Okay. I realize that when things are running normally, that people are protected. There's a certain immunity, and you can't sue the government. But is there any way that Corey's family can sue Kim Cheadle for wrongful death?
Oh, you're talking about Corey Comparatore, the former fireman who died on that was shot. So doubtful. I say doubtful because, first of all, they would have to. Not necessarily sue her per se, but maybe sue the government. But they would have to name a name, and she might be the one at the top. But then the figure of the director of the Secret Service is going to wind up having substantive immunity. As long as they can show that she was acting within the line of scope of her duties and they just made a bad call, then it's not going to wind up being successful, I don't think. That's my first blush at it. Now, if they find out, listen, here's the thing. If they found out that there was an actual conspiracy to commit a crime, if somebody intentionally did something, that would then fall outside the scope of duties, and then it would be wrongful death.
Okay, so in that case, though, there would be possibility for both criminal and civil charges, right?
Yeah, and it's going to depend on state law, I would imagine, too, because they're in Pennsylvania. I can only speak to Alabama, but every state has their own version of civil claims for wrongful death. But so I don't know what the burden of proof or standard is for Pennsylvania, but I suspect that it would be an uphill climb, just to be honest.
All righty. Just wondering. Thank you.
All right, my friend. See you. Yeah, that's a maddening thing, but I mean I get it. I understand why there is substantive immunity for officials who, in the line and scope of their duties, I mean, it's look at what we're dealing with Trump. They're trying to say everything he did was in some way criminal in nature. And you can't do that, or otherwise we're going to paralyze government. No one can ever make a decision for fear of being sued or criminally prosecuted. But that being said, if there's ever a finding that something occurred on that day and Saturday, what, 10 days ago, if there's ever a finding that something occurred that was intentional or was grossly negligent and outside the line and scope of the duties of the people who oversaw the protection of the scene, then yeah, it would certainly open up. And then you get into how far can you go with it? Because very often when you sue the government, there's what's known as a cap on damages. Because if every time you turned around, they could sue the government for, millions, billions, punitive damages, loss of consortium and all of it, well, then the government would be broke. But then again, we're already broke. So, hey, what am I talking about? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. Yeah, I'm talking about this one. I'm talking about Alabama. I mean to say, y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, before we go to the phones and all that, let me just tell you, over the past month, I have introduced you to one of our newest sponsors, Inspire Advisors. No kidding, y'all. Inspire Advisors is pretty inspirational in the way they do their business. So here's the thing. Some of y'all are out there working hard to set aside for your retirement. You're planning well. You're also the kind of people, I mean, you listen to the show, don't you, who care about things, and you care about the things you believe in, and you're willing to stand up for them. But what if you found out, though, that the things you're investing in are contrary to the things that you're actually, saying you believe in? Happens all the time. Too often, people find out that things in their portfolio support abortion or pornography or human trafficking or any number of things that are basically against your principles. Well, maybe it's time for you to meet Paul Breyer. Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors, they are specialists in what we call biblically responsible investing, or BRI. So biblically responsible investing. Paul and Inspire Advisors, they would love to offer you a free consultation to find out what's in your portfolio right now. I'm not kidding. Just sit down with Paul. If you'd like to meet with him in person, they can do it. They will meet with you in person, sit down with you, talk about your portfolio, and basically lay it out for you, and maybe even give you some biblically aligned alternatives if you want them. But it's a free consult. There's no strings attached. Why not? So here's the thing. You want to learn more about BRI. You want to learn more about Paul Breyer and Inspire Advisors. Go to their website, which is moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. You can also go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Go to the sponsors tab on Right Side Radio and just click on their logo. It goes right to their website. Okay, so here's the thing. It's Inspire Advisors. It's free. And oh, by the way, it's godly, it's conservative, it's balanced. It's like financial freedom, y'all. Inspire Advisors. Check them out. I'm going to the phones right now. He hung on during the break, and I appreciate it. Jeff Rowe from Indiana, fresh off a plate of fried fish and pickled eggs from the truck stop. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I've been out of eggs for a little while, but I did have some fish a while ago.
Listen, I don't know how you've maintained your sanity with some of the things you've probably eaten up and down the road over the years.
No, it's not my sanity that's in question. It's my weight.
Well, what's on your mind, man? What are you thinking about today's news headlines?
Well, on this rally thing, and You know, the first thing I'm going to do to investigate this rally, I want to debrief of all the former rallies that they had and everything and see what kind of, just how extensive the protection was then, because I know this ain't, you know, the only time he's had, you know, been out with something like this and been exposed.
Yeah.
And if we had drones, if we had, you know, a lot tighter security, and then all of a sudden this one here is laxed, I smell something nasty in Denmark right now or something. I don't believe that they could be this careless. You know, like I say, Barney Fife could do a better job than what this was.
Yeah, and then and so, you know, I think Congressman Palmer a minute ago, I think he nailed it. He wants to hear from the site supervisor, the agent in charge who signed off on the plan, because they always have a security plan in place before the president even arrives. And that was done probably days in advance. So the advance party is going to cover down. And you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if you're in counter-sniper mode, you're looking for the line of sight opportunities. Where would a sniper sit? And every good sniper who does the counter-sniper work is going to know exactly where they would sit, on that rooftop.
Yeah, and if they're after him, you know, all these former rallies they had and everything, you know, no one was ever captured trying to do anything. You know, I haven't heard of anything, you know, saying, you know, that we caught some guy with a gun here, there, yonder. It's just this one, and this was, you know, it's funny that the opportunity arose that, you know, a 20-year-old kid can climb up on a building surrounded by this many people, and the snipers on the roof didn't see him, and, you know, he got off that many shots before. You've worked around snipers before. You know how it works.
Yep,
I mean, if somebody's shooting and everything, they put it on him immediately. It's not, there's no hesitation.
Yeah, not only that, but then how did he get a ladder and how did he get a rifle there? I saw one report that said there's unconfirmed reports that he had actually hid the rifle on site. Well, okay. How about when they did the site inspections? Did they not see a hiding place for a rifle, or when did he bring it in? It's just the whole thing is so full of holes right now that you could just drive a truck through it.
Yeah, and there's thousands of people around here, you know. He's got a backpack, I guess, with the AR in the backpack. I guess it broke down in the backpack, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that would still have to be a pretty good-sized backpack with a long rifle.
Well, I saw where Marjorie Taylor Greene also questioned the secretary or the director yesterday about something about him flying a drone. Allegedly, he flew a drone over part of the facility, and she didn't deny it. She said not. In fact, I think her response was not the whole site. And she said, okay, just part of the site. How does a 20-year-old kid get to fly a drone over the place where the president is about to speak? And it just, the whole thing is just unbelievable.
Maybe he was using the Secret Service drone that they should have had up, you know? That's another thing, you know. Like I say, it needed debriefing of all the former events and everything just to see if this one is special about lack of security instead of, you know, over-securing.
I think the outside investigation that the congressman called for a minute ago is absolutely got to happen.
Yeah. Well, just like with Kennedy, who do you think killed Kennedy? Was it FBI or CIA? because I can guarantee it was one of those entities.
Somebody on a grassy knoll knows the answer to that one. But all right, man. Yeah. Hey, listen, be safe on the road. We're gonna move on with the topic. But I appreciate you, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, watch out for the fried fish. We'll talk to you.
What's enough for traffic right now?
See,
have a good one, buddy.
See, buddy. Listen, there was an article on the Daily Wire. Some of the stuff that happened in that hearing yesterday was just, I mean, like, good Lord. I don't want to say I began to feel sorry for her because I didn't. But at the same time, I was like, I mean, I have to wonder, too. The congressman said a moment ago that that she was thrown to the wolves and was told, go take the rounds. All right, go take the heat. He said something like that. And I'm looking at it now, too, and thinking, huh. At the same time, I wonder if she did not know it was going to be that bad. Maybe she thought she'd go in there, Republicans would have some mean things to say because they got a posture for their side, and Democrats would be there to support her because they're going to be there for their side. Nobody was helping her. Nobody. I'm pretty sure the word got out. We need her out of the way. Wear it out. We need her out of the way because she's a distraction to the administration at a perilous time. We can't have another distraction. Get her out of the way. And dang, dang, did they do it. So there was one particular part of the hearing. Daily Wire has the piece when Michigan Republican Lisa McClain was demanding answers and just flat out said, "I'm asking you to answer the question," McClain told Cheadle. "If you're supposed to be in charge, if the buck stops with you, how come you can't share the answers? What are you covering up? What are you hiding?" "I'm not covering up anything," said Cheadle. "Then why can't you answer a simple question?" Well, there's a point when you can say, "This is an active investigation, and those are details that I cannot discuss right now, but I'm willing to meet with you for a confidential review if needed." You could say that. She didn't. She just obfuscated the entire time. Just obfuscated and deferred to the FBI. Well, it didn't go well for her. In fact, some of the most inflammatory stuff was said by both sides, but at one point, and I won't repeat the comments. I think Nancy Mace gets a little full of herself sometimes, but she flat wore her out and accused her of just coming up there and spreading BS and had to be called down for decorum reasons. Top five moments, though. Fox has an article about the top five moments from Secret Service directors' hours-long grilling. One of them is she did admit the Secret Service failed. Okay. Yes, they did. And it was an epic fail. It's a fail that is virtually unparalleled, a fail like we haven't seen in decades. Democrats and Republicans, Fox points out, both called on her to resign. That's a significant. One of the worst was, for her, was Representative Ro Khanna, who's a Democrat from California. And he said to her flat out in front of everybody as one of the leading Democrats on the House Oversight Committee, "If you have an assassination attempt on a president or a former president or a candidate, you need to resign." It just didn't. In fact, at one point, Ro Khanna is the one who asked her, "What happened to the director of the Secret Service when Reagan was shot?" And she said, "He returned to work." And he said, "No, ma'am, he resigned." I mentioned Representative Nancy Mace. She got pretty saucy. Director Cheadle was unable to answer how many times the Trump team had made extra security requests. I mean, she wasn't going to come in and say it, right? She wasn't. She wasn't going to come in and throw her own administration under the bus. But listen, I got news. They threw her under the bus. They have let her just take the fall. Mayorkas is her boss. Keep that in mind. Mayorkas, she works directly for Secretary Mayorkas from the Department of Homeland Security. All he can do is thank her for her service and move on. And then the other thing was she told the House Oversight Committee that she did call Trump to apologize, which is interesting. She called to apologize. She also attempted to explain to the committee, it says, that her agency was unaware of the suspicious threat, which does not match what we know on the timeline that we've seen. Now, this whole thing is a mess. The Secret Service got secrets. We want to know what's up. We want to know why. We want to know when. We want to know who. And we want to know it soon. And we deserve to know it soon. This is... Listen, I cannot begin... There are moments when it hits me how significant the events of the last 10 days have been. In the last 10 days, y'all, think about this. He's not just a candidate for office. He's the former president of the United States. At the time, the presumptive nominee to run for president of the United States. He barely survived an assassination attempt that was millimeters away from taking his head off. He survives. He has the week of weeks that was made even more poignant by the fact that he had just survived and showed up. And listen, Donald Trump takes a bullet upside his head, severs his ear, and comes and enjoys the entire convention with a bandage on the side of his head. Joe Biden allegedly gets COVID, despite the fact that his doctor issued a statement saying that his symptoms were very mild. He's doing quite well. No fever. Pulse oximeter is great. Everything looks good. He's taking all the necessary medications. We don't see him for 6 days. Just curls up in a ball somewhere and crumbles. Now, this has been an epic week as Biden resigned by tweet while Trump showed the world that when you get shot, you get back up and you wave your fist in the air and then you come out and you party the next day at the convention. This has been some more kind of a 10 days. The dichotomy between the two leaderships is, well, they couldn't be further apart. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come back and I'll get a few text messages because, Lord, y'all are some texting machines. I mean, my gosh, text box is full. We'll catch a few of those and get caught up. My word, we got stuff. More to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some common sense, like superpowers is what I'm saying. I got a bunch of text messages. Let me get a few of those and just stay caught up. Jason from Meridianville says, definitely living in some strange times when there's a real threat Kamala Harris could somehow be placed in our White House as the president. Though I'm confident she wouldn't win Alabama, I pray the rest of our nation with a decent common sense will work like never before to get President Trump back there and start working on fixing some of the craziness in our country. Yeah, Jason, I agree with you. And listen, that's why we can't take anything for granted. I think all the momentum right now is on the side of the Republicans. But my gosh, there is no way in the world we can relax with this. You gotta run like scalded dogs the entire way. And if you think we're going to win Alabama, yep, I agree with you. Then let's go help another state. Just don't sit idle. Bruce from Springville says, it's funny how the Democrats are playing Titanic. So wouldn't it be hilarious if Kamala would be stupid enough to pick AOC as a running mate, the dynamic duo? Yeah, that's not going to happen. I think she's going to pick somebody I'm a little concerned about who she's going to pick. And I don't mean like a little concerned, like it could be a strange wokist like Kamala. It won't be. I think it's going to be somebody more like Mark Kelly from Arizona, who's going to come in with a military background, a former astronaut, and a sense of vigor. And I would watch for that. James from Harvest says, just because she resigned, talking about Secretary or Director Cheadle, does that mean she gets off scot-free? I mean, other than losing the job that she should have never gotten? Nope, it does not. There can be calls for accountability, but she's gonna be covered by substantive immunity on the majority of it. So there's that. Chris from Gadsden talking about the hearing yesterday with Director Cheadle said even AOC asked a legitimate question. Quote: why was the building 130 yards away considered outside the protection zone? I saw that. That to me was a clear indication that the word was out. We need her gone. When AOC is asking real questions. John from Brownsboro says, I just want to reiterate what you referenced before. Robert Redford in Last Castle in a spy game had the candor of a true leader. Biden seems to be signing documents he's never seen behind his back. And the border czar visited the legal port of entry once and ignored everything else. Can't wait till the next debate. Yeah, that's the question too. I heard this morning, as I was driving in, there was an interview on Fox, I believe it was, with a Trump campaign spokesperson, and they were asking, will he debate Kamala Harris? And they said, well, we're waiting to see how this is all going to play out. What he never said and what he should have said was, she's not the official nominee yet. We can't agree to debate her. We'll debate whoever, whenever, but we can't agree to debate her until we know for a fact she's the nominee. John from Huntsville says, Phil, is there going to be a debate between Vance and whoever Harris chooses as her VP? I don't know, man. That goes back to the same thing I heard a moment ago. We don't even have a name yet. And by the way, everybody is assuming she's it. I think she's going to be it. I think we're at about an 85% solution for the Democrats. She could come unraveled in the next few days. All right. I'm going to hazard something. You ready? Here we go. 3:57 p.m. on Tuesday, July 23rd. I'm telling you, the game changer here is if a whistleblower comes forward or if Joe Biden goes off script. One of the reasons why they may have kept him under wraps for the last 6 days, because they weren't sure yet whether he could stay on script. Here's the message, Joe. This is what you feel like is best for the country. Remember that? You weren't forced out. You realized it was best for the country. What's the message, Joe? You got it now? You got it? Well, they did 7 days of prep, and look how we did at the debate. 7 days of rest and preparation at Camp David, and look how he did at the debate. Couldn't think what to say, didn't know where he was, got lost totally. Derailed his campaign. They're still worried about what Joe's going to say. That's number one. Number two, if we have a whistleblower that comes out and says, I was in the room, Kamala knew for a fact, and she said, everybody keeps this under wraps, I'm going to be the president. Okay, we get a whistleblower, it's a whole new day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on this Taco Tuesday. It's been some more kind of a show. Listen, we got plenty to talk about, but some of the things that we have been discussing are the Hyden-Biden situation. He has now reappeared. They have canceled the silver alert. We have found him. He does not appear to be well as he walks out of his vehicle and gets on the plane. Now, you know, I will say this. I saw somebody say, he can hardly walk. Well, he climbed the stairs, so there's that. But still, I have to look at it and go, wow. It's something else to watch. And I don't know what's going to happen with Biden in the next few days. I have a hard time believing he can overcome the perception that he is no longer fit for office. And then we talked about the question of the Secret Service's secrets. What is going on with the cover-up about, I say cover-up, what is going on with the lack of disclosure and transparency about the incident in which Trump was shot? It's just, my gosh. And Director Cheadle did a horrible job yesterday of trying to smooth things over, if you know what I'm saying. She could have come in there yesterday and said, here's what I'm allowed to say. I have also tendered my resignation. The FBI has the investigative file. We are not an investigative agency. We actually provide, you know, the security for the scene, but the FBI has taken on the investigative role. She could have said some of that. She didn't. She just kept saying, blah, blah, nothingness, blah, blah, nothingness. Well, then lawmakers, in classic fashion. Listen, there's a story here on Red State, Dateline yesterday. It says several lawmakers visited the site of the Trump assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania on Monday. While they were there, they visited and walked out on the roof from which the shooter had fired at Trump and his supporters. In the process, they blew apart the excuse that Secret Service head Kim Cheadle had given for why Secret Service agents had not been stationed on the roof, which was an easy sight of Trump's stage. See, previously Cheadle had said, remember this, well, it was a sloped roof and there was a safety factor. And then a 70-year-old lawmaker named Representative Carlos Jimenez of Florida, who was also a former SWAT team member, by the way, he's 70 years old. And he says, I can tell you, just looking at the site, that there are things that hit you, and the fact that those things weren't covered is unacceptable. He said, I went up on that roof. The roof, the director said, was really, really dangerous for Secret Service and other personnel to be on. I'm 70 years old, and there's nothing unsafe about it. He got up there and ran around on the roof. Representative Eli Crane, who was a former Navy SEAL sniper, he said, it's clear to me that many security measures were dropped, making President Trump extremely vulnerable. Many questions still remain. And he also points out how nobody was on that roof. And then here's the other thing. Crane, the representative who used to be a Navy SEAL sniper, he actually went up to, if you look at the spot where the shooter sat or laid on the roof, it's one of several buildings that are all conjoined. And he was on one. There's another taller building behind him that had a window that looked down onto where the shooter had been. In other words, all it took, if they say, well, the roof was too hot, personnel couldn't sit on the roof itself. Well, first of all, you had a counter sniper team on a very similar roof right behind Trump. It wasn't too hot for them. But if that's the case, then why didn't you just cover the roof from the window right behind it? It's not a hard question. Anyway, I recognize there's going to be some things that we're going to assume that weren't. But there's a lot of things that speculation, we're left to speculate because they won't answer the questions. So, Town Hall has a piece. It's called Secret Service's Day of Reckoning, What Kim Cheadle's Evasion Means for America. And it goes on to say that basically, she was subpoenaed to be there. In other words, she wasn't coming probably without a subpoena. But in the genuinely manufactured responses that she gave, it basically leaves us all hanging. Oversight is now a joke to them, apparently. The Oversight Committee is not scary anymore to the Democrats. They've just decided to go ahead and blow right past it. What it basically means is we've got to put some more teeth back into this. The House Oversight Committee needs to have some teeth. And right now, the Biden administration is not at all scared of the Oversight Committee. They'll do what they're going to do. Just going to do what they're going to do. Hey, listen, on this thing about Trump returning to Washington, he's back now. Whew, he's back. He's apparently there. How there, I don't know. Because earlier in the Hyde and Biden segment that I did, I talked about the fact that his schedule has been cleared. It kind of boggles the mind. How do you have a president of the United States whose schedule has been entirely cleared of any and all appointments? Like, I'm not seeing anybody. Maybe I'll see Netanyahu, you know, the president or prime minister of Israel, our ally, who's in the country, who landed yesterday and nobody was there to greet him. He might see him on Thursday. Maybe. We'll see. There is no reason in today's modern age why the president of the United States, whose own doctor issued a statement last week saying that his symptoms were mild and that he was recovering well and that he had no fever and that his blood oxygen was good, there's no reason in the world why he couldn't have presented himself to the broader public. I think some things are going on here. I don't think Biden is healthy. I also think his family is still negotiating what's going to happen. But I meant what I said a while ago. They are scared to death of what Biden's going to say now. I think part of the reason why he was kept under wraps for about 6 days is because they needed to pound into him what the message is. No one pressured you, Joe. No one pressured you, Joe. Say it with me. No one pressured you, Joe. No one pressured me. Okay. You sure you got it? Well, I'm a little mad that y'all made me leave. That's not the message, Joe. That's not the message. Let's try again. Meanwhile, Jill is working hard to get whatever soft landing they can to make sure that he'll have a legacy. Y'all are going to call him a hero, right? You're going to call him a hero. And the book deal? When's the book deal come out? How much is the signing bonus? We need to know. Listen, I'm just saying. I'm making all that up. I don't know it. But dang, I feel it. In my gut, I feel it. And I hate to foist that kind of speculation on anybody. And speculation is dangerous, and I recognize, too, that Scripture refers us not to speculate. So maybe I need to quit. But here's the only thing they got to do. The only thing they got to do to end the speculation, be transparent. Be openly transparent with candor. But they can't do it. They don't have the ability to do it. They do not have the ability, apparently, on the left to be open and transparent with candor to the American public because that might show something that they don't want to show. That's why Director Cheadle offered her own resignation. Not because she was called to, because leadership would have called for it. No, she offered it because they needed her out of the way, but they didn't want to talk about it. So you take care of that, young lady. You just step down. It's your call, though. Remember, that's what you're going to say. The message is you decided to. Why just fire her? There's more leadership in firing her than there would be in not. By not firing her, it's almost as if the Biden administration is like going, well, we're just, you know, we're sorry that, you know, things happened the way they did, and Trump's still here, but that's okay. Listen, I'm just saying, there's more to this story, more to both these stories. I'm not even a conspiracy theorist, man, but this has like got things running rampant right now. You know, I tell you what, we're going to take a break right now. When I come back, I'm going to take a few text messages, but I'm going to suggest this. We have got to settle down. I've got to settle down and begin to go with the facts that we know. Hard to do, though, when there ain't no transparency. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got a few text messages. I got a lot of text messages. Glenn from Bluntsville says, does he even have COVID? Or does he just identify as someone who has COVID? Classic. Jay from Hartsville says, I don't know what for what, but we seem very vulnerable right now. Yeah, you know what? That's a great point. In fact, I'm gonna talk here momentarily about a little bit of the world stage view, right? But you're right. The crisis of leadership is, it's like, for instance, if you heard my monologue earlier in the show, I gave the example from the Band of Brothers miniseries. There's a scene, true to life, there's a scene when Lieutenant Dyke, who was the incapable leader, who everyone knew was the incapable leader, who had been put in place by powers that be because they wanted him to get, you know, some combat time. You remember that? Well, does that sound familiar? Anyway, Lieutenant Dyke, at the Battle of Foy, froze up and didn't know what to do. It did not mean that those around him did not have skills. It just meant that his leadership was needed and it was absent. They knew for a fact they're supposed to take orders and no orders were being given. It creates an insecurity. It created a vulnerability. And here we are right now on the world stage, and I would agree. There is a genuine lack of leadership. There's a gap right now that creates a perceived vulnerability. Even if we're not, even if they could say, no, Phil, the National Command Authority, everybody's still in place. I mean, they've got all the tools, all the things, everybody's good. In fact, they're on a heightened state of alert right now. But if they are, great. You know what the perception is? Nobody's at the wheel. That's the perception. It's a weird feeling. It's like you're riding the bus and you look up and realize nobody's driving, but we're still going down the road. It's just this weird feeling right now. Well, we got here. John from Huntsville texted in and says, Phil, if Biden says he's endorsing his vice president, doesn't that mean he's actually endorsing Trump since he once said Trump was his vice president? He did say that. Marie from Owens Crossroads, brand spanking new in the text line. Marie, go ahead and plug her in, buddy. Says Cheadle was hiding something under threat of I don't know what. The charges against President Trump did not stop him, and then the upper courts were acting funny about the charges. All this was too much for the Dems. They planned that assassination. Okay. Got that little boy crook. Promised to pay him and protect him. He chickened out. That profile they so-called found on his phones, the FBI made that profile for him before the assassination attempt. Okay, Marie, that's beyond conspiracy theory. That's just flat-out criminal accusation. And you got nothing to prove that. I think right now what we have is a clear case of outright negligence and dereliction of duty. And I don't think that we can say all the things you just said with a straight face. If it comes out one day, I'll be glad to swallow my pride and say you were right. But unless you got something that proves otherwise, that's some inflammatory talk. Dustin from Hillsborough, has any of these developments ever helped RFK standing, or is he still a non-factor? He's a non-factor in the idea of winning.
Oh, okay.
He's not a non-factor in being what they call a spoiler campaign. His spoiler campaign is hurting Democrats more than Republicans right now. So there's that. I don't think he's going to have any opportunity to actually win this race. I tell you what, is that Kareem on the line? I got about 3 minutes? I'll take that call for about 3 minutes. Kareem, how you doing?
I'm doing fine today, sir.
Well, good.
Listen, what I was thinking about is this. I think right now, if we take a look at the whole situation, because the country didn't want Trump or Biden. So right now we have something fresh, something new. Even though it's Kamala Harris, I mean, I have no gripes against her. She's She's been in government for a long time. I'm sure she'll do a great job. So this, I believe this is our opportunity to actually make it look like the United States of America again.
So why do you think she'll do a great job?
Because I believe, I mean, she never really shown anything. She did about as much as Mike Pence did when he was vice president. I didn't live in her state, so I didn't know what her numbers was.
Oh, hang on, man. She was appointed as the border czar. Did she do a good job at that for the last 3 years?
No, she didn't. She didn't, but that don't mean that she can't. I mean, for us to put another 80-year-old man in there who's going to be dithering in about another year or two, he's going to go through the same thing. Are y'all going to remove him? Or y'all just going to let him go through doing the same thing?
I can compare, if you want to compare apples to apples, I could say, okay, she was the border czar. He was also the president and controlled the border. She failed. Then she was supposedly the vaccine implementation czar or something? How'd that go? That didn't work out too well.
Listen, I understand what you're saying. All I'm saying is that we have an opportunity to get away from both of these people, to get away from these extreme MAGAs and get away from the Joe Biden extreme team. We have an opportunity to have something fresh, something new, to get something normal back in this country.
All right, man, let me ask you this. So where was this Kareem like a week or so ago when you called me and you were for Joe Biden?
Did I say I was for Joe Biden?
Yeah, you did.
I said I didn't care who they get in there. I said I didn't love Joe Biden. I'm not in love with Joe Biden. I don't worship Joe Biden. I don't think Joe Biden was God sent, like versus what the Trump cult thinks. They think he's God sent. They think God directed that bullet away from him and all that extra stuff. All I'm saying is that they have a cult love for this man, which is dangerous for this country.
Well, how about the people who apparently have a cult love for the Democrat Party who will vote for whatever? How do you feel about the fact that you voted for Joe Biden and they just threw out your vote so that the powers could pick the right candidate they need to win?
Listen, we don't have time. We got 3 months. Trump is the existential threat here.
Now we get down to it.
He's the threat. I mean, I'm telling you.
What you just told me was you don't give a rat's hind in about the democratic processes or the constitutional right to vote or the fact that the vote's supposed to count. You're throwing that out because it was politically expedient.
Really,
okay.
Really, we're going to go with processes and legalities now?
Yeah.
After what Trump is. Like after what Trump just pulled on the country, and you guys let him get away with it,
What did he just pull on the country? Did he shoot himself on the stand last week? Besides saying,
even if I lose, I win. Besides saying, yo, hook me up with 11,780 votes. Besides saying that everything was stolen because I didn't win. Man. I mean, come on now,
Kareem.
Be for real with it.
It ain't working, Kareem. It ain't working at all, brother.
Be for real with it, man. You know what he did.
The music's playing, Kareem. That means you got an interest.
All right.
We'll see you.
I got you.
Wow. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.